Welcome into this week's More to the Story from WNCW. I'm Paul Foster. We get a chance today to present some stories from the Queen City of Charlotte as we welcome back to the show Eli Portillo, the executive editor of Public Radio WFAE. Good morning.
Morning. Glad to be here.
In a moment, I have two different stories I want to ask you about that was reported on by the reporting team at WFAE. But to begin with, what about Charlotte when it came to this recent winter weather mix? Did you guys, like a lot of other places, avoid the worst?
Yeah, we were definitely prepared for the worst and hoping for the best here. Many of the forecasters were calling for crippling ice storm levels, but all we really got was some sleet and a little glaze of ice. Didn't really have any power outages. Of course, this being North Carolina, we still also had 2 days of school closures, Monday and Tuesday. So definitely could have been a lot worse, and we feel pretty fortunate.
Let's now talk about this story that had this particular headline. A closer look at the CMS Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools potential plans for major magnet overhaul. This had to do with a comprehensive review student assignment policies. Tell us more.
Under the school board policy here, we're supposed to get a review of student boundaries every 4 years. And that accounts for, you know, changes in population. Some schools are overcrowded, some schools are underused. So they shift the boundaries to balance things out. And as you can imagine, that's always a really, really contentious process. We know that people love their schools, care about their schools, move to houses for their particular schools. So having a comprehensive review where thousands of kids might go to different schools, it's a big undertaking. What they're doing this time now is, one, trying to catch up on that comprehensive review because it's been about 7 or 8 years, and it's, like I said, supposed to be every 4 years. Two, they're also trying to streamline the magnet programs, which are really popular here in Charlotte, as they are in many places. I think that's likely to cause some pushback from the community.
Now, all of this involves specific school magnet themes, right?
Yeah. So right now, there are 16 magnet programs in Charlotte, which is a lot. There are magnets for arts, magnets for traditional programs like IB, but also magnets for, you know, Montessori programs, all kinds of things. They are trying to streamline that down to 6. Which would be a big change. You'd have 10 of those magnet programs that would no longer be available. Thinking here is that some of these magnet programs are undersubscribed, and many of them end up being a few classes or a few teachers at a school, and they would like to condense that down to the most popular ones and make every one of these magnet programs a really full, robust program. For example, there are some arts magnets that the program really consists of just a couple of arts teachers extra at an elementary school. They want to, rather than have those spread out, have a few really good, really high quality arts programs that are consolidated at specific schools. More perspective on that. In addition to the magnet programs, they're also talking about shifting high school boundary lines and moving those around. So even though they're very clear that this is all preliminary, they're going to do lots of community engagement, they're going to figure out what's going on. There's pretty much no way to do this without, I think, causing some disruption that people are definitely going to push back on.
From WNCW, this is More to the Story. Our guest is Eli Portillo, representing WFAE in Charlotte. Now to the second story I'd like to go over with you. The headline is Eyes in the Sky, Police Drones and Public Safety. Eli, the deployment of drones by police authorities got underway some years ago in North Carolina, strongly in Winston-Salem.
Yes. So it's been going on for about 7 years right now in Winston-Salem, and they have used these drones for on-scene patrols, gathering information. Now it's expanding to more cities around North Carolina, and also these drones are expanding the tasks that they can do. Mooresville outside Charlotte recently invested more than $300,000. They have drones now that can reach speeds of almost 60 miles per hour. Gastonia, they have a real-time crime center that is going to be sending out drones that can do things like read cars' license plates and track who's driving them. CMPD here in Charlotte is figuring out who it's going to be buying drones from. They want drones that can do surveillance, search and rescue, traffic management, and even monitor crime scenes and report back in real time. So it's really expanding. And I think whereas right now it's kind of a novelty, I think in 5 or 10 years, it's going to be as routine as seeing a police officer pull up in their police cruiser.
In time, could you see more cities and counties getting behind their police department? In other words, providing the financial dollars to help them invest in this drone technology when it comes to supporting and fighting crime?
Yeah, they, I believe, are spending more than $2 million in Charlotte at the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. They are going to be acquiring a fleet of drones, having people use them. And, you know, I don't want to sound alarmist, but we've seen from the Russia-Ukraine war where drones have become as important as soldiers on the ground that these drones, now the technology is advancing at an incredible rate. And they have gone beyond just the ability to have cameras in the sky. There are autonomous drones, drones that can wield weapons, drones that can use advanced imaging technology. When you look at the staffing problems that a lot of urban police departments are having right now, you look at drone technology that is increasing rapidly and also getting cheaper. When they're looking at how to staff up police departments, it's kind of a no-brainer for politicians and police officials.
For some time now, many of us have viewed how important the drones are when it comes to search and rescue efforts.
It's important to point out that earlier iterations of drones have typically needed to be within someone's line of sight so that they could be controlled. But now the FAA and police departments are allowing these drones as first responders, which can launch from remote locations pre-positioned around cities and be outside people's line of sight so they can truly respond independently of direct oversight by someone who's watching the drone with their eyes in real time. You know, you see someone snooping around cars in a parking lot and you call the police and want someone to just come and check it out. Well, that's the kind of thing that these police departments are saying they're going to start using drones for, where instead of an officer coming out, maybe they have a drone nearby that can just fly over, buzz over, take a look, see what's going on really rapidly if they need to escalate things.
If our listeners would like to follow WFAE and your continued news reporting, what's the best ways to do so?
We're online at WFAE.org. And also, I'm going to suggest following our Instagram if you use social media at WFAE. We are actually reaching as many people via that Instagram as we are via broadcast. So check that out.
He's WFAE Public Radio in Charlotte's executive editor, Eli Portillo. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Stay warm.
Past editions of More to the Story are available at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.